It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, March 26th. I'm Patricia Naft. The investigation into the death of Kelly Mae Myers, the 18-year-old resident of Grand Junction, continues. The case has been taken over by the West Valley City Police Department, just outside of Salt Lake City. This is Sergeant Mike Christensen.
Back on December 18th, the Grand Junction, Colorado Police took a missing person case involving Ms. Kelly Myers. She was last reported seen in the Grand Junction area, going to the Salt Lake area, from what she told her family members and friends, for a party. Sometime between the last time that she was heard from and February 28th, she had died. And we believe that she died in the hotel room here in West Valley City. At some point, her body, her remains were transported from here in West Valley City to the Cactus Park area, which I believe is south of Grand Junction there in Colorado, and her remains were located on February 28th of this year. Through our investigation, we were able to determine that Raymond Cordova and Eduardo de la Cruz did have contact with Ms. Myers. Ms. Myers was actually reported leaving Grand Junction on December 18th with Mr. Cordova on her way to Salt Lake City, from what we believe. The hotel room that's here that we believe she was in was rented under the name of Eduardo de la Cruz. So we have listed both Eduardo de la Cruz and Raymond Cordova as persons of interest in our investigation.
Cordova and de la Cruz are already in jail under arrest for unrelated issues by the Mesa County Sheriff's Office. Right now, Christensen says they're looking for anyone who might know more and waiting on a toxicology report from the coroner to determine the cause of death. We reported earlier on how the town of Telluride is trying to craft an ordinance to curb aggressive panhandling. Similar ordinances have been developed around Colorado, but they've met resistance from the American Civil Liberties Union, who claim such ordinances infringe on the First Amendment. Grand Junction is involved in a lawsuit right now with the ACLU. On Tuesday, the town of Telluride attorney Kevin Geiger received a letter from the ACLU detailing what they object to. Here's Geiger.
We certainly did try to make our ordinance less onerous, if you will, than some other ordinances that were either around Colorado or in other jurisdictions. I've looked at a number of cases on this issue where they have found, courts have found either that an action by a governmental entity was appropriate on panhandling restrictions or inappropriate. And trying to find that line between the two, it's not always clear, and it can depend on what part of the country that you're in, what federal circuit you're in. We felt that we had drafted a narrowly tailored ordinance that did not overly restrict free expression and freedom of speech. Right now, we are set to have second reading of the ordinance on March 31st, and I can't predict where that will go.
If it passes the second hearing, it will become an official town ordinance. The body of a missing Fruita man was found in the Colorado River in Utah. The Grand Junction Sheriff's Department recovered the body of Zachary Velasquez, age 24. Velasquez went missing last month and was believed to be armed. The cause of death is still under investigation. The rain and snow have been falling lately. With an update on the weather, here's KVNF's Jake Ryan.
After a relatively warm and dry winter, the western slope has seen some weather. Jim Daniels is with the National Weather Service in Grand Junction, and he says that while the precipitation is good news, we've moved past the time for wide blanketing snowfall and rainstorms.
We've managed to get into somewhat of a more active weather pattern for the last several days, and this has allowed systems to come through, tap some moisture, and bring it into western Colorado, and that has resulted in these periods of rain and snow showers across much of the state. Some of these rain and snow showers have been, I'd say, enhanced because as we're moving into early parts of spring, we're just getting more of the convective input, which means getting showers so you can have one area get some pretty decent snow for a period of time while others maybe see little or none.
One of the main causes for the lack of snowfall this winter is a high pressure system that's been lingering near California. It's been deflecting moisture to the north. These recent storms were strong enough to punch through that pressure wall, but it's still there. It looks like it'll hang on for a little while longer. These storms have helped the snowpack a little, though.
Well, looking right now at kind of the snow-water equivalent of the snowpack that exists, looks like running about 75 to maybe 85% of normal for this time of year, except down in the Four Corners where it is drier. But that might be a little bit misleading because while we are 75 or 85% of normal for this time, we kind of missed the peak periods of snow accumulation in the winter there, early part of this year.
Daniel says the intermittent storms we'll see probably won't boost the snowpack very much. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A bipartisan measure aimed at reducing the number of tests Colorado public school students take is in limbo at the state legislature. The sponsors delayed the first hearing and don't know when it will be rescheduled, if at all. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
On average, students in Colorado classrooms take more than 24 standardized tests before they graduate. According to the Colorado Education Association, it can sometimes be up to 4 assessments in a year. Critics say it actually means less time for overall learning.
We are hearing loud and clear from people, parents, teachers, students from across Colorado that there is too much testing going on and we need to cut back.
That's Democratic Senator Andy Kerr of Lakewood. He's sponsoring Senate Bill 215, along with Republican Senator Owen Hill from Colorado Springs. It would eliminate mandatory assessments in 11th and 12th grade and reduce redundant tests in the earliest grades. But while the bill has backing from the governor and business community, it didn't have the votes to clear its first committee hearing. Right now, Republicans and Democrats are coming together to say the bill doesn't go far enough to reduce the number of tests. The measure was originally scheduled to be heard in the Senate Education Committee last week, but the sponsors pulled it. Democratic committee member Nancy Todd of Aurora says she won't support the bill.
I think we can do more. I think we can do better.
Todd wants the state to adopt the federal minimum requirements for testing in schools, where students would only be tested in English and math in grades 3 through 8 and 11th. And she also wants to change how teachers are evaluated.
50% of their evaluations based on assessment and assessment results. And right now, we're in an experimental stage of assessment. And so, seriously, we're going to use 50% of that to evaluate how a teacher's doing. I think we need to step back and have that conversation.
But even if the student assessment proposal does get reworked, Governor Hickenlooper wouldn't say if he'd be willing to support significant changes. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage is supported by KBUT and the town of Mount Crested Butte's Soul Train Night, annual dance party and celebration of funk and soul, Friday, March 27th in Crested Butte. Costumes encouraged. Tickets and more at kbut.org.
Stay tuned for Joanna and Tay with the Sweet Sound. Thank you for your support of KVNF News. I'm Patricia Naft.